Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. As you may know, I've been recording Walnut Grovecast for nearly 4 years, and as we approach our 100th episode, I just wanted to thank the people who continue to support this show. I received a package of new stickers in the mail today, and we'll get them out by the end of the week. This is absolutely the corniest of stickers, so be prepared. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Aaron Wortman, Peyton England, Angela Bowen, Anne Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Stacy Keller, Gerald Lang, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Brian S., Bobby Young, Brenda Worsley, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten TV Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, and Max Duration. Thank you again for your support, and I look forward to making many, many more episodes. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you live in 1863. Welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark. I am on with Annie tonight. How are you doing, Annie?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm going to let the music just go for the whole end. Everybody likes to sing that last part.
They do.
It's our song. It's the song they played at my prom. They did not. do you have any Little House in the Prairie? I asked the DJ, and he's looked at me and said, no, we don't. But we have Vanilla Ice coming
get
up
out
next.
Of here.
And he said, we have something better. And he put on Ice Ice Baby. So, so we are reviewing a very interesting episode tonight. This is a really fun episode, but it takes upon some serious stuff going on. And we see a lot of transitions going on here as well.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to talk about the episode?
It is wilder and wilder.
Yes.
It is the one that premiered right after May We Make Them Proud.
I'm so glad that you caught that. I think that the Garveys have completely moved on in only days.
Yes.
And Mary's nowhere to be found.
They aren't. I was wondering where they were.
Yeah, and everybody's just kind of moved on. They could have had something, some remnant of the last story, right?
Right. It was so tragic.
I mean, if people don't know that, Mary's child died in a fire because Alice Garvey was stuck upstairs as the blind school
banging
was on
him
fire.
Against the window.
It's unbelievable. And it all started because of the boys smoking a pipe.
Yep, they snitched a pipe.
Snitched it. Clay pipe. So, whoa, you all right?
Yeah, my dog just came in here and is pulling stuff off my table onto himself.
All right.
So, sorry.
It's all right. I thought I don't know. I didn't, something happened. So we have some fun music here. The thing that's weird about this episode is there are very serious things, there's sweet things, and there's humor, there's tragedy. This episode is, in my opinion, a very good first episode for someone.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it kind of gets you kind of moving
forward.
You don't
have to know the backstory on anybody because they don't explain it. So.
Everybody's in it. You even have a little bit of an older Carrie in it. She's less annoying.
Yes, she has lines.
Yeah. So I'm going to actually play some of this Glockenspiel music that is in the beginning. And it's kind of a different type of thing. It's like the Brady Bunch where you can kind of usually tell the tone of the show by the opening theme. So it's like we're just looking at the little house here. There's nothing else going on for this entire period of time. Which I just
the cow was mooing.
Yeah, the cow was mooing. We have Jack, who's in the playhouse.
That was Bandit.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bandit. I always confuse the two. Bandit is in Carrie's playhouse, which I just thought that was a little bit strange. Maybe.
Well, Albert had originally built it as a doghouse, but Bandit would never go in.
But now
so Carrie adopted it as her playhouse.
I don't remember that. That went over my head. I missed that that little segment. But here's Carrie's winning scene.
Bandit, what are you doing in there? That's not your doghouse. Come out of there. That's my playhouse. So you just stay out of there.
Very strange, right? So
she runs to the bathroom. I think she has bladder issues.
Yeah, I mean, well, it can't be that bad if she's stopping to yell at the dog. And, of course, Bandit turns around and goes right back in there. It's like, this is my little house. All right, here we are in the kitchen. We have a view here. We don't normally get this view. This is where the camera is set up from the kitchen's point of view. So we get to see out into the living room and where Pa's sitting, and we get to see the window with the little tiny plates of glass.
Pa, guess what? Armando got a new colt.
That's nice.
He says he got it real cheap because it was a runaway. He named it Barnum. He says that it's...
Halfway, I'd appreciate it if you'd clean out the hen house today, all right?
All right. Armand's going to try and break him into his buggy so he can run him in the big race next Saturday.
Here's your lunch.
Thank you.
Armando says he's a real good horse and that...
Laura, I can't tell you how tired I am hearing about Armando. Right?
Oh, snap. We're all a little...
Well...
Yeah,
it's... At least Armando can afford a horse.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Got his own horse, this guy. So Laura has a couple questions. She basically wants to go and see Almanzo break in the horse. There's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of puppy love, and it's coming to a crescendo when it comes to all of that. There's a little bit of a work chatter with Jonathan. And normally, if you're watching last week's episode and you're here, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be kind of a sad thing. Oh, Jonathan, you just went through so much. But he seems pretty fine, actually. Whoops.
We'll have this section fenced by the end of the week.
We can start spring planting.
Yeah, then we can start praying for a good crop.
We're going to have one. Feel it. Sure hope this weather holds for the Grange picnic next Saturday.
I ain't going to be there for that, Charles.
You're not? How come?
Well... It's Alice's mother's birthday. I promised I'd go over there and see her.
She has a little new light on the arm wrestling competition. I just may enter this year.
I ain't gonna be no shoe-in for you.
Now, it's weird because it's almost as though Alice is still alive.
Right. He doesn't...
Yeah, it's...
I wonder how much time has it...
Yeah, like, when did he promise? Gone.
Right.
Hmm. I wonder, maybe this, is it possible this episode was recorded at another time and kind of moved it around
right,
a little
came
bit?
Came in after that, yeah.
Yeah, that might be a remnant of something like that, because you would imagine that him and Andy would both be mortified. I don't know what the season was when the last episode aired on the show, but we're talking about, you know, it's pretty... It's not like, what season is this, really? Because Almanzo is saying how busy he is. He's exhausted.
Right.
So I'm not really sure. We're not really going for accuracy, I think, at this point, of A Little House on the Prairie. I do want to mention, though, that this is one of the first 1980s episodes. This aired on February 11th, 1980.
Right.
It's a new world, you know, like we're stepping into a whole new realm. I mean, this is probably the seventh episode into the year. I'm not really sure. I'd have to look that up.
Yes, it is the seventh episode.
Oh, it is?
No, it's not. It's episode 20.
All right. But
it's season 6, episode 20.
I'm just kind of curious what, when was the, I'm just going to count. Kind of weird. All right. So I think it is, though, unless they did one on New Year's Day, which they did not. So this actually is the seventh episode for the new year. Yeah, but it's the 20th episode for the
season. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, let's also point out how the horse is named Barnum, which I thought was kind of a cute thing, because later on, Pearly Day, which I just think is such a crazy name. Pearly Day makes a... he has a quote.
Yes, I caught that.
So I thought that was like a little bit of an homage to the Barnum and Bailey's Circus, which I don't think was formed yet, right? I mean, maybe. I don't know enough about circuses. Maybe you do.
I know nothing. Except, you know, we're supposed to know that they're not humane.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. Well, they get rid of the elephants. They're humane again. Holograms. So here we are. Oh, sorry.
It says that. Let's see. Okay, go ahead. I'll look this up.
I'm going to play the next clip. This is the entrance of Pearly Day, kind of walking by and just. Super friendly, good-looking young guy.
Yes, sir.
Hi there.
Morning.
Howdy.
Hi.
My name's Pearly Day Wilder.
Charles Ingalls. My daughter Laura.
My pleasure.
I'm Jonathan Garvey.
Sir.
You wouldn't have to be any relation to the Wilders that live around here.
I'm the baby brother, you might say. I'd purely appreciate it if you give me directions to their place.
I could show them, Pa. It's not that far out of my way, and I wouldn't stay or anything. It's the neighborly thing to do.
Oh, no one ever accused you of not being neighborly. All right, go on.
Thank you. And I could think of a prettier guide.
Hey, don't forget your chores.
I won't. It's just up the hill a ways.
So, Pearly seems nice enough, right? I don't really have much of an issue with him at this point.
Yeah, he seems, you know. He said please, and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we have, they have a little discussion after Pearly walks away, and here it is.
Hey, what?
Just up the hill a ways.
I'll just let this play.
A happy sort, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. How old you say he was?
I don't know, 17, 18, maybe. What?
No reason, just wondering. Let's get back to work.
He's already his eyes for Laura's next crush.
Exactly.
Kind of funny. As they're kind of going and walking towards the Wilder farm, we see Almanzo, and he's trying to calm the horse down and break the horse, right? I mean, is this what they do?
I guess that's how they break him in.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure how this works, but he seems to be having a hard time with it. So, while he's doing this, he sees them walking by. So he's just going and doing this like ridiculous thing, and the horse is going nuts. I can only imagine. I don't even know how you would. I'm afraid of horses, so I wouldn't even want to be near a horse that's acting like this. It's crazy. So he sees Pearlie and he's saying, "I can't stop right now, but meet me at the house."
Right.
And here they are.
Rascal! It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, big brother.
Have you seen Mom and Pa lately?
You know, I just came from Spring Valley. The folks are just fine.
You, run out of money again?
No. Got over $50 right here.
And I had a lot more, working those oil fields back in Pennsylvania. But I lost a bundle in a card game.
You haven't changed a bit.
I want to pause it right before that. But when she comes in, when Eliza Jane sees Pearlie, she goes crazy. And, you know, this is really, in a lot of ways, is Eliza Jane the oldest? Do you happen to know?
No. I think, they're older. There was an older sister.
But she has, like, a motherly attachment with her younger brother here.
Yes.
And it's very sweet. And this is another thing. She has the same type of attachment to Almanzo from time to time, which I think is also very sweet. But I think it's very nice how she's really very invested in him and very nurturing.
Right here.
Yes.
And I had a lot more, working those oil fields back in Pennsylvania. But I lost a bundle in a card game.
You haven't changed a bit.
Oh, Pearly Day!
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sis. Oh, you look wonderful. Oh,
so do you, sis.
But you're a naughty boy, you know, neglecting us.
No, that's just a very funny. Yeah, woohoo.
We haven't seen you in over a year.
Well, here I am. You know, I walked all the way from Springfield just to be with you and Monzo.
Oh, how long can you stay?
I got no timetable, till I wear out my welcome.
Oh, Pearly Day, you could never wear out your welcome. Well, what are we standing here for? You must be tired after all that walking and hungry.
Oh, I could eat a horse.
Well, if I can't break Barnum, I might just serve him up to you.
No, Monzo. That's a fine-looking animal.
Well, I think I'm going to have another go at him while Liza Jane stuffs you.
Okay.
We'll have a catch-up session later.
You bet.
It's very interesting. They have a nice relationship. Liza Jane looks as she's very invested in taking care of her baby brother.
Yes, she is.
So we have Almanzo goes over to Beth and has a few things to say. I don't even think you could say these things on television anymore, which leads to another very surprising outcome.
Two.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, Manly. I see you still having trouble with Barnum, huh?
Well, he can't seem to learn the difference between running and running away. But I'm just going to keep trying.
Can I ride with you?
Well, I'm afraid not. I think it's a little bit too dangerous for a little girl.
Well, that's three things you're wrong about. One, it's not too dangerous. Two, I'm a woman. Three, I'm not a little girl.
Well, I say I'm right about all three. And that just goes to prove that women should stay in the kitchen, leave men to do the horse training. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to get a bit that's going to gentle this horse out real quick.
So, being in Ingalls, what did Laura, why don't you tell everyone what Laura does?
Oh, she goes ahead and steals the horse.
Yeah, but
she just hops right in and...
But she also does the unthinkable.
Oh, and she trains him.
Yeah, she basically does exactly what Almanzo could not. And he's just freaking out.
Did he grow up on a horse farm?
Yeah, the Wilder Horse Farm, right?
Yeah.
But he's amazed by it. He's amazed by this 15-year-old girl. Here he is walking up to her, just kind of awestruck.
Now which one of us should be in the kitchen?
Well, I was a little hasty. What in the world did you do?
Well, you're going about it the wrong way, Manly. What Barnum needs is a gentle touch, a woman's hands. I just let him carry the bit real easy.
Well, Jerusalem crickets, Beth. You must be right. You got him to do what I've been trying to do since I had him.
Jerusalem crickets.
I'm going to start using that.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Well, Jerusalem crickets. Like, what is a Jerusalem cricket? if anybody knows, please send me a photo. I want to know what a Jerusalem cricket even looks like. So we have this fair coming up, right? The arm wrestling fair. And we, which
the
is
the Grange picnic.
Is that it? The Grange picnic? I can never remember.
Yes. That's what Pa said.
This is all they do. This is all they do is have fairs in this show.
Exactly. And they get to take time off and go to the fair.
Right. And make pies and stuff like that. So they're very lazy people.
And chase pigs.
Greased pigs.
Greased pigs, yes.
Somebody wrote on IMDb how they felt as though that was inhumane. Are you kidding me?
Goodness.
1980. Right. 40 years ago. So here we are. This Pa's losing it. Pa is tired of hearing about Almanzo, and there's an arm wrestling competition, and he's going to be up head to head. I mean, he's the strongest man. Almanzo's the strongest man, and they're going head to head, right?
Right.
So he rigs up this rope holding like some seed maybe, and he's just talking to himself, which is kind of funny. And Ma comes in, of course, and makes it a very memorable and a goofy moment.
All right. I think I'm pretty well warmed up, Almanzo, my boy. You want to give me a try, huh, son? Huh? All right, go. That didn't take long, huh? All right, sure. I'll give you a chance again, youngster. Yeah, you ready? All right, and go.
She grabs the sack, and Pa says exactly what I would do in this situation. You could have killed me.
Well, that's very funny. You could have ripped my arm off.
Well, I don't think it's any funnier than a grown man talking to a sack while he's arm wrestling it.
Well, how was I supposed to know you were standing there spying on me?
Oh, Charles, I wasn't spying on you. I just came out to tell you I made a fresh pot of coffee, and I wondered if you'd like some.
These people drink a lot of frigging coffee.
And late at night, too.
Right. This is like, I don't know how.
Decaf?
They didn't have decaf. what time do you think this is? I mean, hard to say.
Well, eight? It's dark outside. Yeah, 8 or 9.
But would they even be up as late as 9? I mean, they are farmers.
That's true.
Always crickets.
Yeah, I would. I would like some. I'm just going to practice a few more minutes.
Yeah.
Getting kind of rusty.
So is your friend. You really should oil him.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's one of those things where Ma can see, like, it's really just getting, Almanzo's really getting, I say Almanzo. But he's getting under Pa's skin. That's one of those things where he almost just wants to needle him a little bit.
Yes.
So here we are in a school. We have a new girl. Like, we have a new blonde girl.
Oh, yes.
Named Penelope.
With a big old bow.
Very fancy. A big old blue bow. So,
and why would these people move to Walnut Grove?
I don't know. But here, do we know where she is? I'm going to listen a little bit closer where she came from. I'm not sure if she states
it. I think back east is what Reverend Alden said.
Because she has an accent in a little bit where it's like, you sound like maybe you're from Florida. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, she sounds like she's from, like, Georgia or...
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I think of Georgia as Florida. Well, I think of down south from, you know, New York, everything is down south. The accents kind of start diminishing as you go through Florida.
At least
I found that anyway. They get more Cuban as you add to this. It does.
Now that we've all met Penelope, Willie, you're late.
I know.
You will remain after class.
I know.
Classic, right? I know.
Poor Willie.
Now, do we know anything about this girl, Penelope? She looks super uber duber.
Oh, the actress?
Yeah.
She kind of, after this show, she dropped off the face of the earth. I think she has a couple. She was in a horse movie. Mm-hmm. And then I think she co-starred on Eight Is Enough.
Stacey Sykes.
She was somebody's
girl. Yeah, she did like nothing.
On an episode of Eight Is Enough. Yeah.
This was her first role.
Yes.
Holy moly. But
you may take a seat, Penelope.
There's room here, Penelope. There.
So Albert basically hip checks Laura out of the seat, which is just so funny.
It's not.
Yes, there is.
There isn't.
There's room here.
All the boys are staring at her.
Yep.
But we see that immediately she has eyes for Andy. There's a scene earlier, I didn't play because it's so boring, of them in church. And she's just staring at Andy, and she has big googly eyes. And
bringing in the sheaves, she's staring at Andy.
Yes. But, you know, I do like he could use this type of attention, being that his mother just passed away a few days ago. You know, 7 days ago. Jeez. But, you know, she's obviously the love interest of the entire class now. Even Willie has an interest. I think even Albert immediately sees that Penelope has an interest in Andy. So here it is outside. We see an unshaven Albert. he's a little bit of a mustachio.
He's got a stash.
Yeah, it's a little dust on his upper lip. It's a very weird time to be. How old do you think he is? Maybe 14. Not really sure. 13.
He's actually a lot younger than Laura, surprisingly.
Hmm. But here we go.
Do you like Penelope?
She's all right, I guess.
Annie, you're my best friend, aren't you?
Sure.
Then do you think you could do me a real big favor?
Sure.
Put in a good word for me with Penelope.
You like her, huh?
A lot. An awful lot.
Okay, what do you want me to say?
I don't know. Something like I'm a real great guy.
You are.
Well, then tell her.
Okay.
So he goes over there and he talks to her.
This doesn't work.
What?
Doesn't anybody ever learn that sending someone else to tell someone you're a real great guy works? It never works.
Yeah, it's never worked. And I've been in this situation. One of my closest friends had an infatuation with this girl. And so I decided, this is back in like 1988 or something like that. Back in the days when you had telephones in your house. And stuff.
And no one had her ID.
And I got her number and I just called her, right? And my friends and I were all the long hair rock guys or something. So, and she was like kind of, had no interest in that type of scene, you know? And I just had no idea why, he had an interest in this girl, but I decided to call her up, introduce myself. She had no idea who I was. And I mean, even she wouldn't know who I was anyway. And we became like good friends over the phone, which is something I think you could only do in 1988.
Yes.
And we just became really good friends, and she just had no interest in my friend. He thought that I was after her for a very short period of time, but then he realized that I had no interest whatsoever in that. But he, even to this day, he thinks that I took her idea and took the idea of her and ran with it and became friends with her. But in spite.
You stole her.
I stole her from him. Yeah. All right. So anyway, a very strange thing. But yeah, I've been in this situation, and if anybody is ever in a situation where it's like, hey, go talk to this girl for me, just don't do it. It's just not a good idea.
Right.
Because
just
usually
don't talk to her yourself.
Yeah. So or just don't. Just don't talk to her. Just move on. Because she's too good for you. So Albert, of course, sees that she grabbed his hand while talking because she feels as though Albert is so much of a child. And this is the outcome. And this is what Albert's response is to Andy after being responsible for the death of his mother.
Exactly.
Some friend you are.
What's the matter? I told her you were a great guy.
And he's got a good solid 12 inches above him, too. He is towering over Matthew Labrador.
Well, but you're not.
But it's weird. You look at Matthew, he's got these huge hands, though. Going on over there? It's just weird. He's got these huge hands, but he's a little guy. I'm this little guy. He's got a huge head of hair, though.
They both do.
Yeah.
Man, get out some clippers.
Yeah.
What'd I do?
I saw you holding her hand. I wasn't holding her hand. She was holding my hand.
Judas! Oh, Albert! Get you! I'll teach Albert!
Greater!
Off of me!
Never! I'll teach you fighter!
Albert, stop it! Stop it!
Do it!
Stop
Albert.
It! Get up! Stop it! Why are you fighting? I thought you two were supposed to be friends.
He's no friend of mine. He thought I was holding hands with Penelope. You were holding Penelope's hand!
Albert needs to be held back. Albert is like, I'm gonna rip his throat out.
I was not.
Well, I see the love bugs bitten Brother Albert.
By the way, Melissa Gilbert looks like it's possible she could be wearing mascara, and I'm not really sure about this.
Yeah, it looks like she's got some eyeshadow on.
There's some definition of the eyes.
You two better get back in school before you get in trouble.
Trouble?
You too?
Yeah, seriously. Just because you're going to be the teacher in, like, two episodes or something, no reason to yell at everyone. Jeez, things are about to change in Little House, isn't it?
They are. They're about to get real.
Yeah, we need to like boost these ratings. So we're at the Nelly's restaurant, or I think it's Nelly's at this point.
It's still Nelly's, yeah.
Yeah, and Pearly, I always want to call him Pearly Gates. I don't know. But Pearly Day has ordered the steak, and he's sitting there, and he's trying to cut it. It's kind of insane. But he decides to smooth-talk the rich blonde of the area, and I'm not talking about Penelope. I'm talking about Nelly.
May I have the check, Nelly, please?
Oh, sir. These two would make a good couple, though. Two blondes, you know? It's a Wilder. Nelly Wilder.
Hey, and then Laura could be your sister-in-law.
Yeah. That would have actually been genius.
That would have been.
Yeah, and it would have been Wilder and Wilder. And they would have both, you know, married.
I hope everything is all right.
Delicious. I never knew those lovely hands of yours could cook.
She looks
Didn't
at
he
him.
Just meet her?
Yes, but, you know, he's a smooth talker. But she's looking at him like he has lobsters coming out of his ears. Like, what did you just say?
Neither did I.
Wait, here. I just love the compliment.
I hope everything is all right.
By the way, he just to get through the meal, he cut the steak in half and put it in his satchel. So maybe he's going to give it to Barnum later or something. Do horses eat meat?
I think maybe it is Barnum.
Maybe it is, yeah. Could be horse meat's a good eating.
Delicious. I never knew those lovely hands of yours could cook.
Neither did I.
And the coffee, Miss Olson. The coffee was the best part of the meal. I'd love a little more.
The salt was the best part of the meal.
Certainly.
So Pearly Gates opens the cash box that Nellie had left out and just kind of snatches up, I don't know how much. Just grabs whatever's right on top and pockets it. And we never hear about this again. It's like...
I know, I guess she had counted.
Financial oversight. It's bizarre to me. Waiting and waiting for his coffee.
It'll just be a minute. I have to heat it up.
Heat it up? What about a fresh pot of coffee? I'm paying for it.
I'm kind of late. Next time. What do I owe you? $1.50.
Now, did he say $1.50?
For a steak? Dang.
Well,
what is this, Vegas?
Adjusted for inflation, that's $32.50.
What?
Yeah. A dollar equals about $25. So, looking, it's quite $37.50. Quite a lot of money. And even the bets that he's throwing around. Later on, we see places a bet for $20.
Yeah.
It's like a $500 bet. Remarkable.
And Doc Baker has no money.
Oh, well,
he's got chickens.
He's got very pricey chickens.
Take $5 out.
$5?
The service was even lovelier than the meal.
$5 change.
Thank you.
Perhaps I could cook supper for you sometime.
I'd love it.
How about tonight?
Tonight? I'd love to, but that would be just too much wonderful food for one day. Next time, maybe.
When he showed up, he told Almanza that he had $50, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of money. $1,000.
I wonder if he stole it.
Of course he stole it. Look at him. Yeah, he's a shyster if I've ever seen one. So yeah, he basically he's a smooth talker. Is the bottom. So let's see. We go by Almanzo and Pearly Gates offers to give. I know, I'm kidding. But Pearly Gates, we have Barnum kind of hanging out, and he offers to take him out.
Now, there's no sense having Barnum stand here all day, Monzo. He's just going to go stale, and you've got a race coming up. Why don't you let me give him a little ride?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. I'd like to give Laura a ride after school.
Well, all right. She's a nice kid.
Kid? She's going to be 16.
I just noticed it, but Pearly Day has this... Maybe they worked on this on purpose, but him and Almanzo have the same mannerisms. That, kind of like the throat out, like, what? What are you talking about? Like these right. Kind of almost exaggerated facial expressions. I'm kind of curious if it's... they kind of were told to act similarly, which I wouldn't be too surprised.
I guess she is growing up.
Thanks.
So Pearly Day is going to take, maybe he has eyes for Laura. And Almanzo seems a little bit curious as to, did he just ruin his chances? Maybe not.
Yeah, no.
I don't think she's on his radar, even so. But we do see Pearly Day and Laura kind of riding by in a wagon. And it's very sweet and very nice.
And Laura's driving.
What?
Laura's driving.
Yes.
Hi, darling.
I think she's beginning to see the light.
Oh, Charles. Maybe you're just beginning to see what you want to see.
Come on, don't be a spoilsport. That young man over for supper.
So this is very funny. When, you know, Pa's opinion is basically, of course, he would rather have Laura dating somebody closer to her age, not 25-year-old guy. But meanwhile, we have Laura and Pearly Day riding. He's kind of smooth-talking her, too, kind of like to impress her, you know, the things that he's done in his life.
You left home when you were only 14?
Yep. Guess you could say I had itchy feet. I've been knocking around all over this country.
Well, how'd you live?
By my wits. When I could. When I couldn't, I'd work. Doing most anything and everything.
Howdy, Laura. Pearly Day.
That's Doc
Baker. That's a good-looking horse you got there.
Well, yours too. You entered the race Saturday?
Oh, I wouldn't miss it. I like sport of it.
Amazo's entering Barnum in it, too.
That's so.
I got an idea. How about a trial race between your horse and his?
Why not? It's been a dull day so far. Nothing but rheumatism and ringworm.
I'm making jokes.
Great, ringworm.
Nothing but these simple things. Yeah, we lost quite a few patients.
Didn't kill nobody.
No, I think he did. It just doesn't faze him anymore. They come in one way, they go out the other. Here they are.
Say $5 to the winner?
Now, this is a $125 bet, roughly. That's
he
quite a lot of money.
He just gave Nelly $125.
Right. Pretty crazy.
$5?
$5?
That's pretty steep, son.
Well, you must not think much of that horse you got there.
Is that so? $5. Up to that oak tree on the right.
You're on. Let me have the reins.
Set.
Set.
Go!
So they go and they go neck to neck and they're racing and racing and racing. And Pearly Day throws the race at the very end. A lot of people, you know, might call this being hustled.
Yes.
You find
born every minute.
Yeah, and you know, Pearly Day pays his bet, and this is where the scam comes. Whoops. Not this part yet.
Well, sir, here is your $5. But Monzo's horse is just breaking in. By Saturday, he should be really ready to run. And win it all.
Maybe. But I've seen Mr. Parker's filly run. She's faster than mine.
I've got $20 that says Barnum will win.
You got a bet.
Holy moly. You could buy the whole town for that.
You could.
That's like a month's worth of money that the mercantile makes. Jeez.
A lot of medicine.
Yeah, seriously. So we have some dinner chat, and there are a lot of...
Hey, where'd they get the glasses?
The glasses? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Carrie and Laura are using glasses. But they got tin plates.
Yeah, they have tin plates. And they used to drink out of the those enamel cups, right?
Right, like what Ma has.
I have the catalog here. I'm going to look up glasses and see how much they cost.
My compliments to the chef.
Real good, Ma. Thank you. Albert doesn't seem to agree. He's got spring fever.
A crush on Penelope Parker.
You should talk. How about you and Almanzo? How could we talk alone? Man to man.
Oh, boy.
Certainly, son. Man-to-man talk will be fine. Why don't you go on outside? Excuse us for a second.
Certainly.
So just before he leaves, he has something to add to the conversation.
I think it'd be nice if you invited Mr. Wilder over to supper this week.
Mr. Wilder, huh? Now, of course, he means pearly day, but...
Pa, really? I'd love it, thanks. But I think we better make it next week. Amanzo's awful busy trying to train Barnum for the race Saturday.
I was talking about his younger brother.
And Ma just thinks it's funny.
Oh, that is just, yeah, she's
like
cracks up.
Busted. Shut up, Ma.
Maybe she's laughing at Albert.
Maybe. I don't think so. But Albert's going to gonna have a little bit of a man-to-man.
What's on your mind, sir?
What I want to know is, how do you get a woman to like you?
Those crickets.
Well, I'll tell you, Albert, I'm not so sure I can answer that. You know, it's kind of like a mystery what gets two people attracted to each other. Kind of like chemistry.
Penelope doesn't even know I exist. Let alone I got chemistry. How do you get her attention?
Well, it seems to me you'd have to try to do something special.
Well, like what?
I don't know for sure right now. Your mom and I didn't hit it right off in the beginning. Oh, I mean, I liked her a lot right in the beginning, but I think that was my problem. I liked her so much, I was a little bit afraid of her, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Boy, Pa, you and me, we sure got a lot in common.
What was that?
I remember.
You remember
Albert? Because Albert played him when he was younger.
Oh, that's right. It's a good point.
Yeah, most men do. You know, as I recall, the first time I got your mom to notice me was when I won the pole climbing contest. Now, it wasn't one in the contest that did it. On the way down, I missed a cleat, went right to the bottom, almost broke my behind. But it was worth it, because your ma came running over, and she was all worried about me, asking how I was.
Kind of broke the ice, huh?
Yeah, among other things.
No, it didn't.
Right.
That's not what happened.
What did happen? I have no recollection.
He would always get spanked at school by Boss Hogg.
That's right.
She didn't like that, and then she wanted... She heard him play the fiddle and
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The story with these two change every 15 minutes. So.
It does.
There's no consistency. So Laura is coming to invite Almanzo to dinner because even though Pa said invite the younger brother, you know, why listen? Yeah.
I got a big delivery today. Sure could use your help at work.
No, Holland Hayseed's not for me, big brother. You know that. But I can help you another way.
Yeah?
Now, you haven't timed Barnum at a mile and a half, right? I'll do it for you. Look, I've even got to stop.
I don't know if this is the right scene.
Watch.
No, thanks.
Monzo, the race is tomorrow. Shouldn't we get an idea of how fast he can go?
I'm not worried.
But if we know what he can do, then we can get some bets down.
Betting's not for me, brother. You know that.
Here's
I don't care if Barnum wins or loses, as long as we have a good race.
Why is betting not for him? I've seen him do a few wagers from time to time.
Well,
they
bet on that on their orchard.
Yeah, that's right.
Morning.
I just thought I'd stop by and ask if you'd like to join us for supper next week. I know you've been real busy, but
Beth. It's awful hard, but this time of the year, I'm so bushed at the end of the day, I don't feel much like socializing.
I understand.
And you might ask Pearly Day. He's never too tuckered out at the end of the day.
Well, maybe I just will. How'd you like to join us for supper? Tonight.
Sounds good.
6 o'clock?
Of course, Eliza Jane swoops in.
Hey, I left you some lunch. Ham and cheese sandwiches and apple pie. Your favorite.
Thanks, sis.
Would you like to ride with us, Laura?
No thanks, Miss Wilder. I'll walk. See you later, Pearly Day.
See ya.
See ya. It's just really... This is a weird episode. So, Dinner with Pearlie. That is a very interesting thing because...
That could be a series, Dinner with Pearlie.
Dinner with Pearlie. Let's see. He's basically really sharing all the amazing stuff that he's done. Everybody is so impressed for being such a young man.
I'm a little sinew and gristle myself. Maybe I'll surprise everybody.
Wait, did I miss it? Are my times off? I wonder. I'll just go back a little bit.
All right, brother, you sure have been a lot of places.
Especially for such a young man.
Well, I feel that the time to go places and to see things is when you're young.
I do want to mention, though, Pearlie took the horse without Almanzo's permission earlier, and he basically really pushed the horse too hard. I guess when they race too much, just like people, they can hurt their muscles.
Right.
Which I think can lead to them being a lame horse, right? Not really sure much about horses. But here we are at dinner.
Oh, I agree with you. Of course, you're going to want to settle down someday.
If I find the right girl?
Exactly. Do you like your pie?
Delicious.
It's like Pa's courting him for Laura.
Exactly.
Laura made it.
My compliments.
Thank you.
You. Ma gives him a look of like, shut up. Like you're.
Exactly.
It's very funny.
Entering any of the events tomorrow?
Afraid not. No. I'm a little too old for chasing a pig, and I don't even own a horse.
Well, how about the arm wrestling?
Not me. I'd have to go up against Monzo.
He's real strong, huh?
He sure is.
Oh, Paul whip him. Won't you, Paul?
Well, I don't want to say for sure.
But I don't know, Mr. Ingalls. He's all sinew and gristle.
Now, I'm a little sinew and gristle myself. Maybe I'll surprise everybody.
I'm all sinew. And the next scene is him working out again in the barn. It's just so funny. A competitive paw is a very funny paw. Sorry, Pearlie comes home and... I don't know. He just has such a cavalier attitude. I think even the viewer is starting to kind of tire of him.
Evening, Pearlie Day.
Oh, evening, Monzo. I'm a little old for you to be waiting up for.
You ran him today, didn't you? You know I asked you not to, but you ran him anyway.
What makes you think so?
When I left this morning, that buggy was clean, and now Bonham's limping. You didn't even warm him up, did you?
I didn't know.
You knew, all right. You just don't give a darn about anything but yourself and your bets, as usual. Well, now all my hard work's gone right down the drain, and Barnum's out of the race. I keep praying you're going to change.
Your hard work.
I think you had a little help from a certain half pint.
Exactly.
All of my hard work, that's just like a guy, just like a man.
So, and then Pearlie Day, his little heart's broken.
I'm not going to go. Here he is. Dude.
Hurry up, Pearlie Day. It's time to leave for the picnic.
Oh, her voice, it just sings. It's just
going to run over those chickens.
I'm not going.
Not going? Why not?
I don't think Monzo wants me to.
Almanzo?
Don't pull that pathetic act, Pearlie Day. You're trying to make me feel guilty for something that you did. It's the same act you've always pulled on the family. You're welcome to come if you want to.
Stay here.
So he's sulking, it's fake sulking. Because as soon as he leaves, what does he do? He gets that friggin' horse. we kind of, I mean, I think we saw it coming, right? He's not going to lose $20. Forfeit. Probably one of the funnier little things here, I think anyway, is when they're at the arm wrestling table and Doc announces the next person up. Hopefully this is cued correctly.
Wilder! And the next elimination, Bob, is between Almanza Wilder and Nels Olsen.
So Nels is blindsided. He's like, what the what?
Well, go ahead, Nels. He called your name.
Harry, why did you enter me in this event? I'm no good at it. I'm weak.
So is he. He has been beating man after man. He's got to be tired. Oh. Now's your chance to strike.
Harriet.
Oh, Nels. Don't be a coward all your life.
I'm weak.
I'm weak. The guy behind her is like looking at them like, oh my God, I can't believe she's like talking this way. And surprisingly, Nels beats Almanza. No,
that didn't happen. Yeah, that's it.
No, he did not beat him. It was a relatively easy beat, I guess. But the next little thing here. Almanzo goes up to Pa and just says, you know, good luck. And hey, Beth, you're like a little girl. He's kind of unaware and everything, but we get a little bit of the competitive nature of Pa coming out a little bit. Because I think Pa is also upset that Laura likes Almanzo so much. He's right. Almost jealous of this.
Oh, I want to beat him so bad.
I know. Let's go watch your son.
Gracie's just looking around going, dusty here. The dusty area.
Why didn't Andrew go to see his grandmother for her birthday?
That's a good point.
And who's he staying with?
This is another great point. This is why we should. Well, why would Alice not go? No, if Alice were, but if Alice were alive, why wouldn't, you know? If we are to assume that Andy is staying with Alice, why wouldn't Alice go to her own mother's birthday? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a little bit of you just have to welcome that disbelief. I think you just have to buy into it. Now, the boys are wrestling a greased pig. Greased with, I'm going to guess, lard.
Yes.
And that poor pig is squealing. I do feel kind of for the pig, but it's all in good fun. They're really wrestling that pig. And you just see Michael Landon, like, you know, laughing and hooting and hollering. It's really funny. Another, you just couldn't do this nowadays, right?
No, heck no.
So, who wins?
Albert.
Yes, and the reason he won is to impress Penelope, who is sitting at the cool kids table. And Albert comes.
Hay bale.
Yeah, the cool hay bale. Hay bale. And Albert comes over with the squealing pig and presents it to his future bride.
I just got him just for you, Penelope.
Who not him? And you both got pigs.
I'm sorry.
You are a horrible, disgusting little boy, and I never want you to come to me again.
So, we see Andy kind of just casually come up eating watermelon, which is just, something about it is so casual and funny. he walks up as his friend's heart is being stomped on.
Exactly.
And that poor pig is just gone, you know. And Andy probably says the best thing that could ever be said.
No. You know what your problem is? You're stuck up.
What?
You heard me. Albert was only trying to be nice to you.
I don't know what I ever saw in you. You're just like him.
Thanks. I take that as a compliment.
She wallops him. Like a wallop. And she sounds like she's from, I don't know. She's like
Louisiana.
Like Chattanooga. Something like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe Louisiana. But she has like a southern drawl.
And how do you like that?
How do you like that?
So he shoves the watermelon in her face, which is kind of surprising. Did not expect that. Very physical.
Come on, Albert.
And they walk away, arms around each other. And I think if you listen really closely, you can hear Albert say, "Hey, I have a clay pipe. Let's go to the blind school and smoke it."
I snitched another one.
And I think that this possibly would have been the entry point to the last couple episodes. I would have, I just think it's so strange. It's such a crazy timeline. The timeline for Little House is just always a little bit crazy. So next up, we have the men who are, they're arm wrestling. Have you ever seen competitive arm wrestling outside of the movie Over the Top?
I have not.
Yeah, me either. I don't know. Just one of those things. I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there's competitive arm wrestling. But everyone's hooting and hollering because the two strongest men in the world are arm wrestling.
And there's Hans Dorfler.
Yes.
He's holding him.
Yeah, he's right there. And this is what's kind of great is that Laura is rooting for Almanzo. And then when Pa looks at her, gives her a dagger look, she changes. So here's all the hooting and hollering. You can't really hear too much of what's going on, but it's very funny. So they're all just screaming. You can't really tell. A lot of craziness. Now, meanwhile, we have the race setting up at the same exact time. This, to me, is a timeline error. Because...
Yes!
Yeah, right? Because it's kind of like the parade in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. What parades go on in the middle of a school day? None. You know, so it's the same thing here. Why have a race begin while the arm wrestling thing is going on? If this were the case, Almanzo would not be able to compete anyway. That being said,
that is true.
There's a consistency error here. We see a couple guys very well dressed. We have never seen them before, I don't believe. But yeah, the race, and Pearly Day pulls up.
I thought Almanzo wasn't going to race Barnum today.
He isn't. I am.
All right, gentlemen. Now remember, it's up to the old Crawford place and back.
And it's interesting that we also have Penelope here. Maybe one of those men are supposed to be her dad, her pa. But yeah, Penelope is right behind the Reverend, which I just thought that was kind of strange.
Are you ready?
And her dress is very clean. A little bit of an issue here. So this is they go on the race.
And Laura's gonna stop him.
And Laura?
Laura's gonna stop him.
Yes.
Oh, they haven't. Yes.
So the race is going on, and yeah, I'll play Almanzo seeing them kind of go by.
No!
So Charles is like, what the heck just happened?
Where are you going?
I'm going to kill Pearly Day. Let's go!
Amanda, wait!
Why does she care? Like, it's just so...
Don't care!
Right, right. It's... Now listen to the entire reaction of the audience here.
You gotta stop Amanda. He thinks he's gonna kill Pearly Day.
Oh, right.
So, you know, Pa's the only one who could do it. You know, it wouldn't be Nels. It's so funny. Nobody's minding the restaurant. Very funny. You'd think they would even have the mercantile open for something like this. Kids might have extra money for some candy or something.
And it's the Grange.
There's money to be spent.
There is. On hookers and...
Yeah. Well, I don't know where the hookers would be in the township. But so Amanda rides the horse and slows him down and stops... You know, basically gets Pearly to pull over. Pull over.
You could have crippled. Maybe you have. I bet Doc Baker $20 on that race.
That's a manly punch. Like, he should have knocked him out for that, a punch like that. But Pearly Day, I think he's a tough wilder.
He must be.
Yeah, he took that punch like a man.
You're never going to change. You've done the same thing all your life. Do what you want, no matter what the consequences to other people. You ran away from home. You broke Ma's heart. Then you show up every now and then when you need a few dollars. Then you disappear again for months, years, without a word. Well, that's not going to happen here. I want you out today. I'll pack up my things and be on my way. I hear New Orleans is a nice, wide-open town.
Now, Pearly Day has tears coming out of his eyes at this point. Did you happen to catch that?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe it hurt.
I'm sure it hurt. But I think it was more along the lines of them wanting him to, like, take it seriously. But this is the last time we see Pearly in this episode.
Ever.
Yeah, ever. He's gone. I don't even know if there's ever even a reference to him again. So, very interesting. So, here we go. Pa comes up to the rescue because Pa's willing to put aside all of his feelings about Almanzo and get to cooking. Also, I want to mention, Laura's dress is very nice. I've never seen it before. I don't think it was ever worn again.
No, I don't think so.
This is it's a very light pattern, and she has the bow in her hair, and she looks great. She has a very stylish Laura in this episode.
How bad is he?
Well, it looks bad. He's puffing up.
All right, my place is closest. Let's get him over there, see what we can do.
So very sweet. You know, he's like, you know what? Let's take care of this. Laura comes out with her outfit still on. I think this is sweet, too. It's kind of like Laura showing Almanzo that, like, I can do adult things, like, you know, that are needed. Like,
bring
I know you
coffee.
Like, I know you're staying up, but I'm going to take care of this aspect of it. You know, like, just like you said, staying in the kitchen. But, you know, it really was a period of time where that was more appropriate.
Fresh coffee.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. You think you'll be getting to bed?
It's going to be a long time yet before we know these cold packs are working on Barnum's leg.
Didn't offer Almanzo any, by the way.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not a baby who needs to sleep. I'm going to stay up and help you.
All right, keep the hot coffee coming then.
I will.
Maybe throw a Hot Pocket in the microwave. Running out of here or something. I'm kind of of curious, what kind of cold pack would this be? I mean,
I know they don't have an ice house.
No, I mean, not really sure, but what I'm guessing is maybe it's just wrapping it in a type of material and keeping it wet with fresh, cool water. I mean, it's pretty much the best that they could do, right?
That's true.
I mean, well water.
Well
water would probably be pretty cold or cool, at least. Wondering if that's the case.
Maybe Nels gave him some ice.
Possible. Go grab a handful. A whole handful? You know, charge them for it.
It certainly is quite a grown-up young lady you have there. Not so grown-up. I'll tell you, Almanzo, I like what you did today. Forfeit me arm wrestling to save your horse.
Now, I love this. I love the needling. The pettiness comes out.
I won.
What?
He said I won.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Charles.
Yeah, basically.
Well, you were going to take me anyway.
Yeah, I promise. I still like what you did.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You're welcome, son.
So it's, you know, really foreshadowing at this point. They stay up all night, very sweet. Pa gets up, checks the horse.
Almanzo
wakes up, hair is perfect. There's not one hair out of place.
Take a look. Swelling's gone way down. I'd say with a little rest, he's going to be as good as new.
Laura comes out, same dress. she's like, I'm not changing.
How's Barnum?
We did it, Beth. We did it.
It's the closest we ever see Almanzo getting to Laura at this point.
It looks like he's going to be all right.
And Pa looks like he, if he had a gun, he'd be shooting her, him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How's breakfast sound?
Oh, it sounds great.
Can I do it, Ma?
All right.
I'm going to do it all.
Make plenty. I'm starved.
Hey, Almanzo.
He's already sending orders.
You owe us $4.50 for the breakfast.
Exactly.
I have a little confession to make. If that arm wrestling had gone on another minute, I'd have quit.
I'll tell you the truth, Mr. Ingalls. So would I.
Go on, you can wash up in the kitchen.
Okay.
All right, what are you grinning at?
Well, you have to admit, she picked a better man than you did.
I might as well admit it. I'm admitting everything else this morning. The thing that worries me about that young man is he's such a liar.
Charles.
Well, he is. He could have beaten me any time he wanted to, and he knows it. Oh, it's tough getting old. But after we finish breakfast, I'd appreciate it if you'd rub my arm with some liniment.
Liniment.
Rub your own arm.
By the way, I couldn't find the glasses in the 1895 series robot catalog. I know they're in there, but I'll find it and I'll share it. But we do get a voiceover here. At this period of time, we don't get too many voiceovers, you know?
So that's true.
Yeah, like they kind of went away after like season 3-ish.
I don't know if my dream will ever come true about Almanzo and me, but I do know that right now the two men I love best in the whole wide world are having breakfast that I cooked for them.
Gee, she threw Mr. Edwards under the bus.
Yeah, well, he's not.
Plus, she loved him.
You know, it's weird. The more I look at the little house, the more I realize how small it is. I don't know. This one shot, I was like, holy cow, it's like they live in my garage or something. And I have a loft in my garage, so it's probably more space.
That's true.
Because I have a full loft. This is like a half of a loft. Very interesting. But
the chicken coop's almost bigger.
Jacob's a good 30% of the size. But Annie, I want to thank you very much for getting together and doing this episode.
Thank you.
This is a fun episode. I like this era. It's the introduction to my favorite era of the show, where it's a little bit more modern. The show gets a little bit cleaner looking, slicker maybe. But the Almanzo years are some of my favorite, personally.
Yes, I love Dean Butler.
Yeah. And I don't know, do you have anything else you wanted to add to this this fine episode?
No.
Yeah.
Not really.
But I will follow up with the price of the star button glasses.
Oh, I do have something about the Charles Bloom, who played Pearly Day.
Oh, what about
him? I was looking him up. And he played, after this, he played on a series with Joe Namath. It was called The Waverly Wonders.
Hmm.
And Conrad Bain, the dad from Different Strokes.
Yeah.
Was his dad on the show.
Oh, that's interesting. Did he do anything after that, or did he kind of vanish?
No, he played some small parts on a lot of different, you know, like the time.
Yeah.
I think he was on Battlestar Galactica. You know, just all those.
He did the gamut
TV
of
shows
like,
of the time.
Hmm. Well, he definitely looks familiar, which is what I kind of like about the character as well. I feel like I can place him in a number of different shows. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Any support is appreciated.